Here we are at Smokey's in Auburn. We're going to be talking about karate, or hopefully this will be a weekly discussion, conversation about the martial arts, not just karate, other styles as well. We thought tonight, my name is Pete Shambo, my wife Marie is here. I'm a Shodan in Shorinru Karate. She's a Marie.
I'm a Marie.
Go ahead.
I'm a Nidan.
I'm Gene Myers, I'm a Sandan in Shorinru Karate. And my wife Cindy is here, and she doesn't train. She's just the eye candy, at least for me.
We thought we'd start off this. This will hopefully be a series, and we thought we'd start off with how we got involved in the martial arts. We'll go with the oldest in style here, Sensei Gene.
Okay. All right. Well. Like a lot of people, I was kind of fascinated with the martial arts when I was a teenager. Back in the 70s, when I was in high school, Bruce Lee first came to prominence with the Green Hornet series in the late 60s, and then in the 70s, he was coming out with his movies. So I thought that was the coolest thing, and being a little guy. Like Bruce Lee, that's the only similarity I have with him. I wanted to study martial arts because I emulated Bruce Lee. So I took a little Goshin Jitsu from a sensei who was one of the most sadistic people I've ever met. He was the head bouncer at a local bar that was called the Ivanhoe Room. And he told us that we could get in for free to the Ivanhoe Room if we would help to bounce. And sure enough, one of my friends and I, who was also training, took him up on it, and sure enough, we got in for free. And we happened to see, we weren't there 10 minutes, we saw him beat the shit out of some drunk who could barely, see his way, to the door. So that turned me off on his school, so I stopped. And then after I was married, I took judo for a while at the local college. For about a couple of years, dropped out of that and didn't do anything. And eventually, after having, I don't remember if Julie was born or not, but Aaron and I, my oldest daughter, who was about in the fourth grade, fifth grade, went to Tomato Fest, and we saw a demonstration by Shorinru group, and going fine. So we saw this demonstration by John Druin in his karate school, and my daughter wanted to try it, and I've always been interested in martial arts, so the two of us started together, and she eventually dropped out in favor of gymnastics, so at least she was doing something, and I just stuck with it. I liked the people, and it's just a good exercise. It's a social thing, and I'm kind of fascinated with the bunkai and things like that. So that's how I got started. Okay, so next oldest.
Well, thanks.
For Marie and I, it was a collaboration. We have a daughter. I've always been interested. When I was 19, I took Tatsudo for about 2 months, and I found out that the white belts were there to get beat up by the upper belts.
Who was the instructor?
Mark Siebert.
Oh. Just curious.
Yeah, no, I knew some other ones too.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a tight group of guys that taught. And basically what it was is the white belts went in, and there was one particular, I don't know if it was brown or black belt, but for some reason every week he'd walk up to me and I'd be his partner, and I'd end up looking at the ceiling most of the class. So that, like I said, that lasted 2 months, and I said I don't need this anymore. And that was when I was 19. Then when I was in my early 30s, my daughter, who was 7, got a gi for a birthday present and a few free lessons. And
say hi, Shannon.
Hello. That's going to be the most important part of
the day.
There you go. This is Shannon.
The best waitress in the entire world.
That's right. My daughter started karate. We sat in the audience.
For a year,
my wife and I both. Obviously, I've since come to the realization that most parents whose children take karate, the parents wanted to take karate in the first place. But we jumped in and did it. And we've been doing it for 12 years ever since. My wife has pretty much the same story. Go ahead.
Just what you said.
Nothing else?
I like Karate Kid a lot.
Oh, you watch Karate Kid at least once a week.
Okay, alright. So this is kind of a reality kind of a thing. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a tough question.
Okay.
I mean, you guys were friends with.
Yeah.
For a while, you guys stopped training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just plain stopped.
Yep.
And I'm curious as to, you know, why you stopped, because you were gone for like about a year.
A year and a half.
And, you know, there's probably a lot of people who do this.
Yeah.
But once they stop, they probably don't come back.
Yeah.
But you guys came back.
Right. Yeah.
And not only you came back, but Marie, you tested not only for your Shodan, but for your Nidan.
Yep.
And here's Pete getting ready to test for his Nidan.
Right.
So, I guess my question is, why did you stop, and why did you come back?
Combination of things. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of it had to do with the politics of the dojo. At the time, there was another instructor that was pretty much running things, and particularly not to my liking.
This would be Kathy.
Yeah, this would be Kathy.
Really?
And she, the way it happened was that she had a new person in her life who changed her quite drastically and made her workouts into grueling workouts of sit-ups, push-ups, crunches, whatever kind of thing she could do to her students. So,
what rank were you when you guys quit?
I was a Shodan, and I had already had my black belt probably about 6 months, and my husband was still a brown belt.
To be fair, our style always was, even when we were just Qs, was our group was more of a family almost type group, and our style was more soft style. wasn't very intense. It was you learned what you were capable of learning. You weren't expected to learn what you couldn't do. You weren't expected to do what you couldn't do. Kathy's the gentleman she brought into her life.
Mark
came from a different style, where one of the styles that Gene and I both spoke of, where it was more of you do what the sensei tells you, and there were a lot of physical activities that maybe you couldn't do, you were still expected to do. That's the difference. For me, part of the reason I stopped is we just didn't have the time. Marie and I were trying to start a business, and we just didn't have the time either. As far as coming back after a year, that was probably the hardest thing, because
the main reason we came back was because of Butch.
Yeah, the main reason we came back was because of Butch and Gene. Butch being Tony Musso, the owner and our fourth degree. But coming back after a year, here you were. To most of the students that came, you were somebody new. But we had all this knowledge. Maybe some of it was filled with cobwebs, but we had a lot of knowledge. And coming back and all of a sudden being treated in the class differently than other new people. Sometimes the new people looked at you like, you know, how come you're doing it? You know, how come you're treated differently? So, that was the hard part about coming back after a year. And part of it was not knowing how you'd be treated when you came back. We had the advantage that we were friends with a lot of the people in the dojo. And our dojo is a social club too.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Was Kathy gone when you guys came back?
Yes.
So you waited for her to leave before you guys came back?
Probably the next day, I think.
Well, it was fortuitous that our schedule freed up at the same time that she left.
How coincidental. Well, I know what you mean. She was kind of a disruption to the dojo. Mainly because, like you guys said, when she started dating Mark, who came from another style, he said he trained for 20 years and yet he didn't achieve his Dan ranking yet, you know. So, And I think part of the reason that they had all these, you know, physical requirements, like standing in Shikodachi for, you know, 30 minutes, was because there was very little in their curriculum. And we just didn't have time for that, you know. There was so much that we had to learn with all the katas and bunkais and kumites and, you know, stuff like that, that there was very little for, very little time for us to be, you know, jerking around with this, you know, with this bullshit kind of stuff that he brought in. But, you know, she was going to do what he recommended that she do, so, you know, okay. But now she's gone, so, you know, I think it's a better dojo.
Yeah. Well, I should interject here that we're all mature people, and we've come to the realization...
Semi.
We've come to the realization that there is no one best style. There's what's best for you, not what's best. There's none of this, my style's better than your style. But a lot of people don't seem to have that attitude, and that was part of Mark's problem. Our style... Different styles appeal to different people. Our style requires as much mental as physical, and that appeals to obviously all the people at this table, which makes a difference. That's why we don't have time for 100 push-ups or 100 sit-ups or running 5 miles, because there's a lot more material.
Okay. There is a lot of material to know, that's for sure. But, you know, it's kind of surprising that you really don't, comparatively speaking, when we changed from Seikichi Iha, Hanshi Iha, to Hanshi Nakazato, it seemed like the curriculum was kind of cut back a little bit. Requirements for Shodan are now is, you know, you don't have to know quite as much. However, on the other hand, you know, your technique has to be very, very good. Yeah. You know, your basics have to be very good. I kind of like this better, despite the fact that Nakazato emphasizes more stronger blocks and stuff like that.
Hard versus soft. Yeah, that's my feeling as well. Nakazato style has a little bit less material, but it's still, the emphasis is still on karate and not on... physical attributes or physical, I don't even want to say well-being, on physical strength. It's more on the basics. It's not, you know, can you do 100 push-ups? It's where's your middle block? Where's your inside block?
Yeah. Now, also, one of the different, we're kind of getting on to the differences now.
But you should know what the differences are. I mean, Shorinkan and Shidokan.
Yeah. We used to train in Shidokan, Shorinryu Shidokan, and under Iha, who's a little guy, it was more like a lot of emphasis on Tai Sabaki, your body shifting, and you know, evasion, gentle type blocks, and it's easier on the body. It seems like Nakazato, although the katas are the same for the most part, you know, the bunkais are a little different. And they emphasize more harder blocks. Nakazato is a bigger guy than Iha. And our Kiyoshi, Robert Hurton, is also a big guy. So they can do those kinds of things. Now, none of us sitting at this table and train here are big people. So I think we're still kind of incorporating the Tai Sabaki, and that's okay. But there's, you know, with these strong blocks, they're either supposed to be a... Your block is also your counter, you know. So it's been a difficult transition, at least for me, to kind of reconcile that. But
thank you. Oh, that's okay. This is just an informal.
Probably you.
But one thing I've noticed is, or one thing I've realized is that how important the basics are. The basics, with some changes, the basics are similar in both of the styles. But
you guys all ready for an OJ?
Yes.
Yeah,
please.
Absolutely.
How about the wine too?
Just ice water.
Thank you.
Probably yours.
Can I
continue
your awesome for you?
But the changes has made me realize how important basics are. Period. You know, while we change, maybe there's a change in the kata from a side kick to a rear kick.
Like in Kusan Kudai.
Still, how your side kick looks and how your rear kick looks doesn't change.
Yep, I'll
be
right there.
So.
That's what I
can add before. Actually, if you remember, in Shidokan, at that point in Kusan Kudai, that was you turned, did an outside block, and then a Meigeri, front kick, and then turned back.
Yeah.
You know, which to Nakazato didn't make sense because you're turning your back on your next opponent.
Right.
So I don't remember if this kind of calls for a rear kick or a side kick. I've seen half, you know, six one, half a dozen the other, but it still seems to be more practical.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like Nakazato's style is a more practical, whereas Iha's style was more for show. There was a lot of wasted motion in a lot of the things we did.
Yeah. Everything was softer, though.
Everything was softer, but I mean, there was a lot of like parrying that really I don't think is practical in real life street situations. Whereas everything that we do now seems to have a purpose.
What we've pretty much been talking about for this past 18-20 minutes is that you know, how we got to where we are. And Gene and I are pretty similar, and I think talking to other people, it seems to be something that's not uncommon, is you want to study a martial art, and you just find the martial art that fits you. Like we said earlier in the conversation, you know, everybody has a different expectation, they bring something different to the art, and they take something different away, and you find the art that fits you.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I really find appealing about Shorin Ryu is that unlike a lot of like Japanese styles that have like long stances and really hard type blocks, you know, Shorin Ryu's like in kata, the stances are higher and more mobile, more balanced. The blocks are more evasive instead of just, you know, harder. And it seems to be a style that you can use, you know, as you get older. And, you know, you got two old farts here anyway. And
but how much of that is a style and how much of that is our dojo?
I think it's a style. I really do. Because
I think it's a little both. I mean, we've seemed to... There's only three of us that take here, but we've got a believe me, trust me, we have more people in our dojo. And we all seem to have found each other. We all seem to be of the same mind of what we want out of the style. And I think that if, like when we go down to New Jersey to our ninth degrees our eighth downs dojo, there's a different, the people seem to take something different out of the style. There's not a lot of difference in the way they do it, obviously, it's the same style. But I think what they want to take out of it is different than what we want.
Yeah, but...
still being run by an 80-year-old person.
Good point.
And it was taught to him probably by an 80-year-old person when Chosen Chibana was teaching all of these other students of his, Nagasato, Miyahira. He was probably in his 80s too and failing health, and so a lot of it, may be changed and may be tempered to easier movement.
Well, that's kind of what keeps me going, because in this style, because if it were like Shotokan, you know, a Japanese style that has long, deeper stances and like that, I don't think I could keep up.
Yeah.
You know, so I started because I saw like a demo and it looked kind of cool. I didn't know Shidokan from Shotokan from anything else. You stay with it because it just seems to be easier to do than a lot of those harder styles. Hi, Shannon.
How you doing?
Shannon's back.
I don't know if it's the fact that we're all older that makes the style what it is, or if we're drawn to the style because we're older?
No.
We do have younger people in the dojo. And well, that maybe that's for another conversation.
Yeah. But the more sustaining students are all older.
Yeah.
The ones who stick it out. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We have people that come and go all the time, but it seems a core group that is pretty much sticking with it.
But we'll stick with it because there aren't these high-flying, twisting, kicks and techniques and stuff like that, like some of the Korean arts. And it's only because physically, it's, I guess, less demanding, but as effective as any other art that, you know, that I've seen. Because it's more than just kick punch. There's joint locks, there's grappling, there's, you know, throws and that kind of stuff. So,
but it's what works for you.
Well, the thing that I like about it, and the reason that, as a woman, I was interested in it, was it was something that women could do, and weren't treated differently than the guys. I mean, Gene punches at me as hard as he punches at any of the other guys.
Damn straight.
Damn straight. Which I appreciate, and but there's nothing in it that a woman couldn't do, or a child, whereas some of the martial arts that are out there, the Gracies that do their,
if you're in that kind of shape, we've been talking about how a difference, there isn't a bad style. There's just what's good for you. If you're in that, and if you're in shape to do what Gracies do, that's fine.
But the thing is, being the style that it is, being the art, anybody can learn this, and anybody can be accomplished at it and be able to protect themselves and be able to defend themselves in any kind of situation, whereas a lot of the other showy kind of things aren't really necessary in the style. I mean, it has rich tradition in the Okinawan arts, but it's also very practical for modern day. Said my piece.
Okay, Marie, you can get down off your soapbox now. No, it's very good. Words of wisdom. All right. I guess, you know, we've talked about that for a while, and so we're gonna call it a day here. And next week we'll have something else to talk about. We hope maybe this our conversation here got some of you guys talking. We'd like to hear your feedback, and feel free to post something on wherever we're going to be.
What we're going to do is we're going to try and have a message board of some description, and in future weeks when we have it set up, we'll give you the URL in this talk, in this conversation. And we've thought about this for doing this for a while. What we've decided is we want to make this a conversation. We want to start something. We want you to write in and say how you this week, how you started, how many different styles have you taken? Did you find the right style the first time? Did your kids take it? Did you make your kids take it because you wanted to, like my wife and I?
You know, we kind of touched on working with difficult people in the dojo. Maybe next time we'll pick up more on that, because we've got some stories and we'd like to hear yours. But next podcast we do will be on, because it's a part of life. You got to deal with assholes, and sometimes they're your instructor, and sometimes they're your rank, and sometimes they're below you, and, sometimes they undermine what you do or whatever, and just make life miserable for you, training life, I mean. So maybe next time we'll talk about that.
That's it.
Good night.
Good night.